Crossroads East Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.
I'm delighted now to be joined by Head of Digital Communications from Design and Crafts Council Ireland, Susie O'Keefe, to tell us all about a new bursary which is being brought together and being launched by the Design and Crafts Council Ireland and the Royal Dublin Society. And this bursary is to support Irish lace makers. Hello, Susie. How are you?
Hi, Adrian. Nice to meet you. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Yes, I'm fine. And I'm delighted to have you on to tell us all about this fantastic bursary that's going to be launched and given towards the Irish lace makers. This is actually, it will support them, and it's worth 8,000 to help the lace makers. But it's also to celebrate Ireland's rich history of lace making. Would you like to tell us about the lace making in Ireland?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity to come on and talk about it. So yeah, look, we're very excited about this. Lace making is just one of the crafts that the Design and Crafts Council of Ireland support within the what we call the guilds, associations, networks, and societies around the country. DCCI has been in operation for 50 years. This is our 50th anniversary, and it was originally set up to, I suppose, promote our rich heritage of craft. In the country, to promote them, you know, develop them in terms of our economic value in Ireland, but abroad as well. You know, it's always been a rich part of Ireland's culture, and it harnesses the value of that, has helped create the identity of Ireland in some ways through crafts, but. The Design Crafts Council of Ireland supports all of these societies, all of the makers, in, as I say, not just preserving these crafts, but also creating opportunities for the makers, so that they can continue to work in the area and to preserve them. So lace making being one of those areas, it started really, I suppose, in the early 1700s, and it was a preserve of wealthy people. You know, obviously the intricate work that was involved in it meant that it was used by a lot of royalty. It was used for churches, for like christening robes, for altar pieces, for wedding dresses. Kate Middleton, I think their anniversary is coming up for like 10 years this year. And actually part of the lace on her dress was inspired by Carrick McCroft lace. We have a huge amount of different companies and different types of lace traditions around Ireland, Carrick McCroft being one. We have Mount Mellick. And they have different styles, actually, that, you know, are can be seen. The Carrick McCroft one tends to be a bit of lace, sort of applique onto netting. But it is a very interesting story in that lace making, actually, back in those times in the early 1700s and onwards, allowed people in, you know, poorer areas of Ireland, actually, that had little to no employment, apply their time to being able to create lace and export it. And in, you know, often the case was that it actually paid for their passage out of Ireland to America, especially through times like the famine, etc. Because, as I say, they didn't really have they had time to be able to apply to it, and the materials that they needed were simple. It was simply bobbins and threads. And the Le Branche Chaudière bursary that you mentioned there was actually set up in honour of Eleanor Riego de Le Branche Chaudière, who wrote over 70 books on needlework, revolutionizing the world at least, and became very influential during Victorian times. And she helped to, I suppose, spread the word and to drive it as, to drive lace as something that was desired by, you know, wealthier women, you know, in England and across the world. So it's an 8,000 euro bursary this year. It will continue to be a 2,000 euro bursary over the next number of years. And I'd say what it really allows people to do is to invest time. Like, these are, you know, opportunities that can help the makers continue to make for themselves, but also, as I say, to preserve and to progress lace making in this case as a craft, and to apply it in lots of different ways. It has had more contemporary handling with the likes of Natalie P. Coleman, who is a fashion designer, and also used it in an exhibition called Sisters, and there was a political meaning to that as well. So, you know, it's an exciting application, and an innovation is part of it at the moment as well. Well, and it really taps into certain things with COVID. You know, a lot of people, as we know, have taken up new skills, and needlework, knitting, etc., are all parts of those.
Well, there you go. It's such an intricate thing when you see. I remember watching an old movie many years ago and seeing how this tiny, tiny little piece of lace, the amount of work and hours that had gone into just a tiny piece that wouldn't make anything, you know, like a coaster for a glass or something, you know, and hours of work. And they could sell those little pieces, and that would feed the family for a week or two. And and such a beautiful art to be passed down. But I'm sure at this stage, a lot of the lace now is mass produced, so I suppose they're really looking for that handcrafted lace is sought after, I presume, by these designers now at this stage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I say, I think, you know, there is an increased value in, as you say, that the handmade aspect of lace and of, you know, all of the crafts that are there. So, I mean, it's great. I mean, we have over 3,000 in the organisation that are registered with the organisation, and I'm sure there's many others out there as well. But, you know, it's hugely important for the value of their craft to be celebrated and to be desired, you know, because, as I say, if we don't support them, it becomes harder for people to be able to continue to do it. You know, everybody needs to make a living. The celebration of it and the demand for it is very important. But also, as I say, this is where the bursaries come into play. And, you know, DCCI we have a number of different bursaries and awards. So in this case, the RDF, obviously, they fund this particular bursary. The RDF themselves have had a long, you know, tradition of supporting the arts and culture in Ireland. And then, you know, we in DCCI engage with makers and with guilds at every point of their career and for every type of person who might be involved in it, be they hobbyists, be they professionals. So we have an enterprise arm as well, and particularly last year during the pandemic, when some opportunities might have been impacted, you know, we organised a series of, and they are ongoing, a series of webinars for our makers to be able to, say, upskill in terms of, you know, bringing their businesses online and marketing their businesses, reaching markets that they may not have been, you know, reaching before. And, it's actually been a great success. And we actually were going to be launching our Made Local campaign during the summer as well. We launched it last year to great success. And, you know, driving or encouraging consumers to think locally when they're making purchases, and to think, as you say, of that handmade sort of personalised element that is part of Irish design and craft, and, you know, make, when you couldn't see people, that, you know, people wanted to get a more personalised gift and send it on perhaps to people that they weren't able to see. So, you know, it's been an interesting time.
Yes, and the fact, as you say, people not able to see people and not able to travel, that little bit of Irish lace would mean so much. But it's a perfect, a perfect industry, I suppose, for COVID, because I presume most of these lace makers just work from home. It's like a cottage industry or something, is it?
For some, it would be. But then, as I say, you do also have, you know, companies or, you know, businesses like Carrick Macross Lace or, let's say, Metmelic that are, you know, are still ongoing, but, you know, and have lace makers in them. And, you know, it is a niche still, but it is, you know, Irish lace is renowned and so is sought after, you know, the world over.
And what will this bursary then mean for the lace industry? What will it do for them?
So, as I was saying, it's especially this, you know, of €8,000 is to, like, there, you know,
seems
a lot of
so
people
small.
Pardon?
It seems so small, but within that
it
industry,
seems
it's
so small,
yeah.
But actually, it is quite life changing. In that it gives an opportunity for makers. It's time. It buys time, and it buys people. You know, so €8,000 means that, you know, it allows the makers to be able to invest their time in, say, a particular project that they can apply themselves to wholly and fully, and, you know, to be involved. So I actually have a bit of a background in the creative. I'm a ceramist as well as working in the business side of things. Mm. And I know that you need to have a certain, you know, mind space to be able to create, and not like having money to be able to create this time for you to be able to apply your mind, to apply yourself in a calm way to what you're doing, and to be able to be completely immersed in the creative process. Yes. Allows you to, I suppose, your ideas to run free, to invest in those ideas, to push them, and to come up with something new, to explore the medium, and, as I say, to come up with something new that then can have, as I say, you know, innovate within the area, create new opportunities, you know, add to, as I say, the progression of it as a whole. And as I mentioned there, Natalie B. Coleman, you know, she did something different with lace. She, and as I said, the exhibition she had, Sisters, she did it in collaboration with the United Nations Population Fund to mark the anniversary of two landmark conferences, which resulted in sexual reproductive rights becoming fundamental human rights. Like, that wouldn't have, like, that happened, you know, through her thinking, her creativity, her, you know, visual representation of a craft using lace to further, you know, awareness of these particular issues. So, you know, as I say, it allows progression, not just in the craft, but also in other areas. And that's the difference that it makes. And as I say, a craft is built up on everything that has come before, and all the makers, you know, everybody that has been involved in it over the years and continues to do so. So it's important that we have people who continue to invest in it and who are given the opportunity to invest in it, as opposed to not having the time because they need to make money elsewhere, you know. So it's very important to be able to do this. And we have a number of programs in DCCI. We've just actually had the what we call our portfolio program, which is the selection of the critical selection of Irish craft design and craft, which also has a bursary attached to it. And in that area as well, actually, there was a maker, Edmund Byrne, and he won the bursary, and he was able to do a project with another maker, and there was combined glass and metal. And they also came up with a new innovation, which went on to an exhibition. Again, it reaches people, it creates awareness, it creates interest, it creates demand. And that's how an economy is run, you know. Mm. It adds value to it.
And yes, and keeps it alive.
Yeah.
And then can people then in the future, how do they go about applying then for one of these bursaries?
Excuse me. So it was, as I say, it's an annual bursary. So we've actually just, the submission has closed for this year's bursary, yes. But it will be run on an annual basis. So we have a very informative website, dcci.ie, and we will always put a call out for every bursary or initiative that we run. We have call outs on the website, but we've also a very active social media section across LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, particularly as well, Twitter, and you know, call outs come through them. So I would recommend to your listeners to follow us. There's all sorts of interesting information. You know, it's our role to support makers and the societies with not just opportunities, but to let the public know about them and to get involved. And there's been a lot of different drives this year. We've also been part of Flaunt Your Care, Keep Well campaign. And again, a lot of our guilds and networks have been involved in that, running projects, running workshops. We have a huge amount of videos on YouTube, which give people ideas or show them how to do lots of different things. So, you know, as I say, it's to create opportunities for existing makers, but it's also to get the public involved. And the different networks are all over the country. We've over 50 of them, as I say, from ceramics to belt making to metal to blacksmithing, all sorts.
All sorts of crafts,
so I'd recommend that your listeners might go online and check them out. There's lots there for everybody, regardless of the level of interest or the level of skill, you know, and certainly it gives the opportunity to get in touch with the various different societies, and they're only, delighted to get in touch. And we can help put people in touch with others as well, you know.
Lovely. Well, it sounds fantastic, and it'd be lovely for somebody to take up a new skill, and maybe they could get onto the dcci.ie, and there's also /craftspeople, and you can get in there for any opportunities and information that you'd like. Thank you so much, Susie, for coming on and telling us. It's such an interesting topic, and I love the way that you're keeping it alive, keeping these fantastic crafts people still going. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, thanks a million, and thanks for the opportunity. Look, it is opportunities like this that help at all, you know, as I say, getting people interested and appreciative of it. And as you said, the intricacy of it, you know, it's a lovely thing to own. I mean, we have all this tablescaping and all the rest that's coming through, you know, and you know, again, as a result of COVID maybe. So it's another place for lace. And I mean, as you say, get in touch or go online and see what's there. There's probably something for everybody that might introduce or that might, you know, give you an introduction to a new way of spending time in a very mindful and productive and satisfying way. So, hope your listeners get some enjoyment out of it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Susie. You've made it very interesting this morning, and it's been a joy to talk to you. Take care.
You too. Thanks,
take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
90.3 867 1190
Near FM.